traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network. And I will be solo today for the next hour explaining to you exactly what the International Equine Network is all about. It's going to be an exciting year for us. We've got a lot of things coming out for you to enjoy. If you go to our website, ientv.org, you can kind of see what we're doing here on the International Equine Network. We're going to cover all breeds, and we're going to cover all events from the backyard pony shows to the International World Championships. We've got 10 different programs that we'll be broadcasting over the next few months. They'll start out weekly next Thursday on August the 6th. We will have the International Equine Report. The International Equine Report is an hour-long show, and it will be highlighting equestrian events all over the world. We will be a roadmap to what you need to go see on the weekend or come to our website and watch live or tape, equestrian events of all breeds. That's the International Equine Report. And we're going to have call-in. We encourage you to call us and ask us and talk with us about your sport, your event, your discipline, you're doing, and ask you to participate with us. If you've got video, if you have any information on an event that you have, you can go to our website or you can call in on Thursdays and let us know, and we'll surely be sure it gets out on broadcast. And the mission statement that I have for International Equine Network started back in 1982 when I first got into the horse business. I was very fortunate. I was traveling all over the country with a good stable, with the Dewey Smith stable and Mrs. Joseph W. Brown. We had high-quality horses, and it was kind of a drawback at first because when I got into the business, I walked into the top pub. Couldn't get any better than that. My first year on the track, we won the Louisiana Derby. We ran in the Kentucky Derby. We won the Kentucky Derby trial. The list of wins was just endless in our state. And I thought that's all there was to it. And then as I worked, I found out it was a little more difficult than just, walking into a top-notch state. And so over the years, I got to thinking, what could I do, that would expand my knowledge of the horse business? And one of the things that I thought about was radio and television. Back in the 80s, about the only thing we had were, the racing form and different horse magazines, to let us know what was going on. And, of course, by the time you read it, it had already happened. And, it left me empty. And so now, like I said, over the years, I kind of put together a plan. I kind of evaluated the situation, and I created the International Equine Network. And basically what we're going to do here for the rest of the time is explain to you each program that we have. And we're going to start to with At the Wire. It's a thoroughbred program. It's about thoroughbred programs and racing, both domestic and international. We'll be on the road to the Kentucky Derby with a segment on At the Wire. It's called How They Get There. And then How They Get There, we're going to show and tell our listeners about what it takes to get to the Kentucky Derby. For example, we're going to have a gentleman by the name of Steve Norman. He is an unbelievable blacksmith, shod many of Derby horses in his career. And we'll go over with him what it takes to shoe a horse and when you shoe them and how you shoe them. you know, in order to make sure that they can run the very best when they go to the gate. We will have on the program veterinarians to tell us exactly what it takes to keep a horse in good shape, keep him healthy, keep him going in the right direction. We'll have feed companies that will tell you how to feed your horse to keep him in top fit and running. You know, so that's the basics of what we're going to do. We're going to be highlighting a lot of racing. For example, on At the Wire next week, we will have the results of the three-year-old race in Del Mar. It's a great race coming up for the Road to the Kentucky Derby. Not many horses will be in that race. And the reason? Because of the virus that we've had. And it's gonna be interesting to see who wins it. And the reason I picked this race is because it's 7 furlongs. And that's, the Derby's 4 weeks away, pretty much. And, you know, this 7th furlong would be a good tightener for it. And one of the horses that is in there is a horse that Bob Baffert had back earlier in the spring that he was pointing towards the Derby. His name is 8 Rings. A very, very good horse. He's had a lot of problems here and there, but it seems to be straightened out on him. And so I'm kind of excited about that. He's an Empire Maker horse, and he's got a lot going for him. And, you know, this is H. Allen Jerkins stakes race. It's a grade one. Post time is 6:18 p.m. It's a $300,000 race going 7 miles. And I think that this race is going to possibly produce, you know, a few Derby runners out of it, maybe even the Derby winner, you know, could go there. And then also on the card at Del Mar, we have the Shared Belief. It's also for three-year-olds. It's $100,000 added, going 1/16. And Bob Baffert has Uncle Chuck in there, which is a nice, strong horse. And he also has 1,000 Words that are in there. That's in there. So we have a good race on that card. This usually could be a stepping stone to the Kentucky Derby, or even to you know, one of the undercard races at Churchill. And so that's you know, something that we'll be watching, and we'll have plenty of video, and we'll have a good report on that next Thursday on August the 6th. And then we have at Saratoga on August the 1st, we have a $750,000 1/8 race for the older horses. It's the Whitney Handicap. It's a grade one. Post time is 5:42 p.m. On there. And what's interesting about this race is that there's 5 horses in the race. All 5 of them have earned over $1 million. And it's going to be a very, very good race. Bob Baffert again shows up with a horse called Improbable. Very nice horse. Shug McGee, he has Code of Honor, which is, this horse can flat out run, and that's his home turf. And also, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at the Wire. We'll be coming along, following the horses to the Breeders' Cup. Every week we'll have live racing from one of the major tracks, you know, here in the U.S. We'll have live racing from Australia, live racing from Europe, live racing from Hong Kong and Japan and South America. So, you know, this is going to be a very interesting program. We would like for everybody to tune in and watch and go behind the scenes. Go back in the barns with us and see, you know, how the horses are taken care of. You know, what's in the day, in their day. When do they start? When does it end? You know, who's taking care of them? Why do they do what they do? So, you know, that's going to be At the Wire. Yeah, which is, I hope everybody is excited about and who joins us, because every week you'll be updated on who's running in the Derby. And, you know, if we play our cards right, we can tell you who'll win the Derby before it happens. Tune in. That's at the wire. Our next program that we have is called Flying Turns. Flying Turns is about the standard bred industry. It's very exciting because it has such an international flavor to it, from Sweden and Europe. It plays a big part in the roles that we have here for our standard breds here in the United States. We'll be following horses that will be going to the Breeders' Crown that will be in this fall. We've got horses that will be going to the Hamiltonian. We got horses that will be going to the Little Brown Jug. And that's going to be one of the programs I'm going to really enjoy, because we're going to really get behind the scenes there at the Little Brown Jug. It's a fair-type setting. And one of the things that's interesting that we'll bring to you and why they do it is if you want to get a seat for the next year and you're at the Little Brown Jug, you take your lawn chair with you and you literally lock it to the fence, and the Hamiltonian Society will leave that chair there until next year. You come back, and when you come back, you unlock your lock, and you've got your chair right next to the track so you can watch the race. And so you know that how we have that. And then we'll go behind the scenes to places like the Meadowlands, Woodbine, and see how the tracks operate. They'll take you behind the scenes and show you how they train. Now, fortunately for me, I'm here at the Sunshine Meadows in Delray Beach, Florida. And it's a fantastic facility. We have some of the best horses in the world here. It's just amazing what we have. For example, on Saturday, we have a nice race that's coming up. It's at the Meadows. It's the Devon Miller Adios. It's a three-year-old open pace that will take place. There's 10 horses involved in it. And fortunately for us, we have Tony Alagna. He's got three horses in this race that have all trained here this winter at the Sunshine Meadows. And so we'll be watching that real close. I'm lucky to be here. Not only do we have the best standard breds in the world here, we have some of the best show horses in the world here. In our Palm Beach Downs facility, we have Todd Pletcher's horses here for the winter. And we had Always Dreaming and Super Saver. And then years ago, we had Monarchos that have all won the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, we're fortunate for that. So the facilities that I'm associated with, I've labeled them as home of past, present, and future champions, because that's exactly what we're producing. And on Flying Turns, all winter long, they have a Saturday afternoon program, or Saturday morning program, called On the Deck. And it's a very good time to come out and see the horses train, see some of the best horses in the world train, and come out and visit with On the Deck at the Sunshine Meadows here in Delray Beach. And who knows, you might be able to syndicate a horse and buy one. They have a lot of that on the deck, and they're very successful. But the other things are some of the races on Flying Turns, and you'll have to excuse me because my French accent, and French is not very good, not like it could be or should be, but it's called the America, the Grand Prix America Prix de Coup, I believe. I'm not for sure how you say it, or the name of it, but it's an interesting race. The race in that race day is all developed and designed to thank the Americans for their contribution to the war in World War II. And what's interesting is all the horses are in red, white, blue, American flags. It's just phenomenal, what they do there, for it. And it's all to, help racing and give thanks to the Americans for what they have done. Sweden also has quite a few days that honor horses in their country's racing, you know, that type of thing. I'm not a real big harness man. I do know a little bit about it, but not like I should. And it'll be an interesting program when it comes up, because it'll take you all across America to the Meadowlands and Pennsylvania, Maryland, and, you know, just wherever they have harness racing at in Canada, which would be good. And we'll go to the sales. We'll go to the sales. The sales are just phenomenal for the standard breeds. They have a sale at Harrisburg, and they get just hundreds of horses there. In fact, they had a horse last year that came out and was just unbelievable, you know, and we got to see him come here to Sunshine Meadows, and his career is getting ready to take off. So, you know, we'll follow him. Next week we'll give you the name of the horse. He's a nice young horse that's coming around. And then also we had Maverick out here, which was the most expensive standardbred ever sold or purchased at $1 million. And he's in Tony and Lonnie's barn here. So, you know, it'll be interesting. We have some fantastic barns here. We have Casey Coleman and Lindy Farms. We have Paul Kelly, Peter Wren. You know, the list is just endless of top-notch trainers. And like I said, if you come out on Saturday mornings, on the deck, you know, you'll be able to see these people and watch these great horses train. And, you know, certainly we want you to go to our website and watch Flying Turns, because we'll be following all the big races coming up, you know, that make the standard bred business what it is. And so that'll be Flying Turns. And then the next program we're going to have is called Last Call. Last Call is online video sales that we are doing now for the horse industry because of the pandemic and the virus and, you know, and what have you. But what we do is, for example, last week we had sales from Australia, and they're live and they're virtual, and you can go and you can watch and see all of these horses train. You can see the horses go through the sale ring. You get to meet the owners, the breeders. You get to meet the buyers, you know, from racing, from horses all over the world. And we're just not limited to just the racehorse industry. You know, we go to the show horse sales, you know, to see those in polo. You know, we were selling polo horses. It's a live sale, and the reason we call it the last call is you don't know where the last call is going to come from. Is it going to be from the internet? Will it be from somebody that's physically at the sales, or will it be over the phone? And that's how we came up with the name Last Call. And also, and it's interesting because you get to meet people that have never owned horses before that are buying. You got to meet people that have been in the business 50 years that are selling horses. You get to go behind the scenes and see how they're trained, you know, how they're shipped to the sales. It's exciting to watch them. And then what I like about it is you can watch them, you know, down the road. You can see if any of the horses that you might pick is to be one of the best horses bought, or just pick a horse that you like. You can follow it to the Kentucky Derby. You can follow it to the Hamiltonian. You know, you can follow them to the shows. You can keep tabs on them and find out where they're going. And then, so that's an exciting show in itself. Then one of my favorite shows that I like is called Quest for Equine Gold. Quest for Equine Gold is about the Olympics. It's how horses get to the Olympics, how they get to world championships. And this is a good show because it covers a lot of different disciplines. It covers dressage, show jumping, you know, it covers anything that has to do with show horses. And we go behind the scenes to those different disciplines, and it's very exciting to watch them. Because I tell you, it's amazing how they jump over these 3 and 4 foot, fences, that type of thing. I'm excited about that. One of the things that you're going to really get involved with is the show aspect of it. To see how they spend hours and hours and days, months and months, year and up to years to get a horse to the Olympics. It's not like it is in racing where you get a two-year-old and then by the time he's 3 or 4 or 5 years old, he's through racing. These show horses, they don't start getting good until they get 10, 12, years old. They get seasoned and they get experience. And it's just phenomenal of how they train every day, year in and year out, and how they get to the Olympics. It's amazing some of the riders that you see when they first start out. You don't know how they're going to be, if they're just going to be a weekend rider, if they're going to be a champion, that type of thing. And so we talk to the riders. How did they get there? What did they do to, develop their horse, to develop themselves? Why do they pick the shows that they go to? Do they go to Kentucky? Do they go to South Carolina, North Carolina, New York, or do they go to California and to Europe? It's just phenomenal how they do. And we'll also go behind the scenes and show you how they select the Olympic horses, the Olympic teams, the process that they go through. And that's something that, our viewers and our listeners will be able to do, is you come to our website and you'll find out where your local show's at. And you'll find out if that's a show that it's on the list to qualify for the Olympics. And surprisingly, there are a lot of shows in every area in this country that you can drive within a half hour to an hour and see, and it's an Olympic qualifier. You can go down and you can walk right up to the show ring, watch the horses, get up close and personal with them. A lot of the riders talk to you. When you go there, it's an amazing opportunity that you need to have. We have Olympic dressage on the website this week. We have eventing, which is on our website also, and it's an Olympic sport. And each one of these programs will tell you exactly what eventing is. It's going to tell you exactly, what dressage is. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about all of our equestrian programs, because we're bringing it down to the level that we're trying to get new people to come out and see the horse industry. Come out to the racetrack, come out to the show grounds, come out to the sales. It's a good family type thing that we're going to do it, on the website. And speaking of family things to do, every week on our website, we have a family movie that we post. It's a full-featured movie, and it's about the horse industry. It might be about horse shows. It might be about horse racing. It might be about breeding farms. It's very, very good, hour and a half, 2 hour weekend thing to do. It's changed and posted every Monday. We put a new movie up, a new video up. Sometimes we have documentaries. We had Secretariat that played, and we got a lot of good response out of that movie. It's free. That's the great thing about it. It's free and it's for the family. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do here, at International Equine Network. One of the other things that we do is we recognize the Equestrian of the Week. Every week we pick an equestrian, and it could be from any of the disciplines, any of the shows that have contributed to the equine industry and have stood out and made a difference, for the industry. And we suggested if you've got somebody that you think could be our equestrian of the week, send it in to us at International Equine Network. And then we can do a story on them, and we can place a video or their story on Equestrian of the Week. We change that every Monday also, too. And along with that, we also do Farm of the Week. And what we do on Farm of the Week is we select a farm that has made a contribution to the equine industry, be it through breeding or racing or rehabilitation. We choose a farm of the week that's making a major contribution to what we're doing. For example, this week on Farm of the Week, we have Rudin Riddle Equine Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. Rudin Riddle is one of the finest equine facilities in the world. If you have a problem with a horse, if you have, need surgery, just whatever you need, Rudin Riddle is the place to go. Their staff there is just phenomenal. The things that they do, it's the cutting edge. It's, it's how to get the horses back in shape, how to save the horses. It's just amazing that what they can do in these clinics, to save a 1,200-pound animal, save his life and get him to, back to where he needs to be. And I would suggest that you go to our website. It's called Farm of the Week. It's behind the scenes at Rudin Riddle. It's on there now. And it's a very, very good video information that you can have there. And then also our equestrian of the week, back to that, is BZ Madden. BZ Madden is phenomenal. She's a role model for any American horse, male or female. Her work ethic and the things that she's done in her career is just phenomenal. And that's a good video, that we have there. That I think everybody would really enjoy. Those are, if you got a lot of time to kill, just go to my website and see what we have there. And then the next one that we're coming to is called Quarter Time, and it's about the quarter horse industry. It's about the rodeos. It's about the Olympics. It's about the trail rides. It's about anything and everything that is related to the quarter horse industry. They have racing, they have sales, they have schooling, they have, any and everything that you need to know. And I tell you what, Quarter Time is actually it's a good program because it tells you that the horse industry is a part of our culture, and it takes you back to the basics, to the different disciplines, to the trail rides, what do you like to do in the horse business is to be able to go and ride. Quarter Time is the program that you need to go see. It's about the real cowboys and cowgirls. It's not how should I say it? It's not all fame and glory. It's all hard work. And that's the best way to describe Quarter Time. It's a way of life, and I like that show. It's really good. And on along the heels of that, we have a horse show called Chuck Wagon. Now this is my favorite show. What it is the reason we call it Chuck Wagon. It's about how equestrians eat on the road. How they travel to the racing, to the shows, to the trail rides, how they eat, what they cook, how they do it. And that's all via the Keystone Montana RVs. They make a lot of good RVs for the equestrians. When you're on the road as many weeks as you are and traveling like your RVs at Keystone Montana has created, it's just phenomenal. Washer and dryers, all the cooking facilities, and it's actually high-end living. It's better than a motel. And so we created Chuckwagon, and what we're doing is we're asking equestrians from all disciplines that are out there to send us in recipes. What did they do at their event? When they go to the event, what do they have for breakfast? What do they have for lunch? What do they have for dinner? And what do they do when they have the last night of the meat party? What's their favorite recipes? And we're going to actually film them. You're going to see some of the most famous horsemen in the world, jockeys, trainers, owners, actually cooking their recipes on Chuckwagon. And we'll have them evaluated by equestrians to see if their recipe is good or not. And then at the end of the year, we're going to select an equestrian from each one of our programs. For example, like At the Wire, we'll accept a thoroughbred recipe, and then we will put them all 10 shows together, and we will have a competition at the end of the year to see who can beat a famous chef that we are selecting to go against. That's one of the exciting things about Chuckwagon. And you don't have to be a horseman, to watch the show, because we're going to talk about the Keystone Montana trailers, how to maintain them, how to stock them, and then, same with our recipes. Where can you get all the ingredients out on the road? And one of the good things about being on the road with the horses is the fact that there's a Walmart everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's a Walmart, and it's exciting because, that takes a little bit of home with you on the road. But more importantly, when you're as busy as you are as an equestrian, you have to get your groceries. And we are affiliated with a company called SHIPT, SHIPT.com. They have an annual membership. Normally it's $99 a year, but sometimes they'll give it at $49 a year. And I've been using them for the last 2 years, and it's exciting because I can sit down at my computer and I can order my groceries from, like in my area here in South Florida, we have Winn-Dixie, we have Publix, we have Target, we have Costco, we have CVS, ABC Liquors. And we have Petco, and I can order off my laptop whatever I need. Then they deliver it to me at a time that I select. Sometimes you can have it delivered within an hour, or you can schedule a time later in the day. For example, today I've got my weekly groceries is coming at 4 o'clock this afternoon here to the farm. And they're the same price as the prices are in the stores. And it's fantastic because I can get any and everything that I need, from my pets to frozen food, fresh food, you name it. If it's sold in any of those stores, I can order, which is fantastic, to do. And the great thing about it is they can deliver it to wherever you're at. So, for example, if I'm in Ocala at a horse show and I need to order, I can order through one of the stores that's on the ship.com list, and they deliver it to me right at the showgrounds. So that's fantastic. Or if I'm in New York or if I'm in California, wherever I'm at, I just go to ship.com and see what stores are available, and I can order and have it delivered right to me within an hour. And so, you know, that's the fantastic thing about that. So you'll see a lot of deliveries being made to Chuck Wagon and all the things that we're going to need for that. So I look to gain and hope to gain about 50 pounds this year on that show. Some of the recipes I've seen are just unbelievable. There's desserts, there's breakfast, there's lunch, there's gourmet meals. It's going to be exciting. And then after Chuck Wagon, I'm excited to tell everybody. Well, I use the word excited an awful lot. That's because I'm excited. The next show that we're talking about is called Chuck. Chucker is a term used in polo. We're going to have domestic and international polo every week. It's amazing, the polo facilities that are in this country. A lot of people don't realize it, but if you were to Google polo at U.S. Polo, you can find out where polo matches are at. You can go out to the polo grounds, and a lot of times you can just pull right up to the polo field, and you can tailgate. You literally can tailgate there. And here in Palm Beach, I've been to several of the polo matches, and I was just stunned by the tailgate. I saw a lady, they were in a Rolls Royce. They were standing on the polo field. They were at the polo field, and they had, their champagne and all their food and the chairs and their umbrellas and everything. And then right next to them, there was just a regular person, a guy that just, lady that just pulled right up. And, they get out and they got their Kentucky Fried Chicken and they got their sodas and what have you. And they're sitting right next to, the Rolls Royce there. And it was interesting because they got along very well. Polo seems to bring everybody together. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what you do. The polo people seem to get along very well. And it's exciting. It's an exciting, afternoon to go see. So I like that. And the thing I like about it is the horsemen that we're going to be interviewing, they're from Costa Rica, they're from Venezuela, they're from Argentina, they're from Europe, England, they're from the United States. We'll go to the different polo clubs here in the United States and see how they train them, see how they start training them for polo. You just don't take a horse out to the polo fields and start playing. It's quite a process. It's a schooling process. It takes a long time, to do that. One of the things that you'll see next Thursday on Chucker, on our little video that we have for Chucker next week, is it's very important for the riders to get out on horses. And you'll find out that you don't have to get off a horse, get on the ground, and then get back on the horse. Polo players can go from horse to horse without ever touching the ground. And it's just phenomenal, the things that they can do, with the polo horses. We'll see how they make polo mallets, how the wood is selected from the polo mallet. And here in Wellington, we meet a guy that's the best polo mallet maker in the world. And they come from all over, and the thousands of polo mallets that this man makes. It's just phenomenal. We'll go through a step-by-step process for that. And that's all part of Chuck. You'll see the big tournaments all over the world. Then, of course, the America Cup is here in Wellington. And that's probably one of the best, if not the best, polo match in the world. And you would be surprised at how many movie stars, how many heads of industry, how many athletes that play polo. It's phenomenal. And you can get up close and in person with it. And that's why we want you to come and watch Chucker. If you're looking for a polo match to go to, contact us here at IEM. You know, we've got a huge list of places where you can go watch polo, and most of the time, you know, it is free. So that, you know, that's what you know, we're looking at on Chuck. You know, that's a good one. One of the things that we have that is really interesting is a show called Zero to Ten. It's about dressage. It's where the horses dance. They make them dance. And I tell you what, it is one of the most beautiful sports that you could ever watch. It's amazing how horses come in and they do their routines. Dressage is not a natural gait for a horse. That is an acquired and taught gait for a horse. And some of the things that that the dressage people do, the dancing to the music, the timing, is just unbelievable. You know, I first heard about dressage about a story that was being told about a lady named Liz Hartley. She medaled in the Olympics. And at the time she medaled, the equestrian in the Olympics was pretty much, especially for dressage, was all men. And it was all military. And Liz Hartley came in and she medaled. And, you know, I said, wow, I said, that's just amazing. This is the amazing part about it was is that Liz Hartley had polio. And she still rode. And it goes back to the, you know, to the thing that dressage is a taught discipline. And an acquire, and they have to acquire, you know, seat pressure, body pressure, that type of thing. And she had to do it all with her hands because she had no control over the weights. So, you know, that 0 to 10 is really phenomenal, and it's unbelievable. It's kind of like break dancing for horses, I would say. You know, and what they do and how they do it. So, you know, that's 0 to 10, and that's one of the last shows of the 10 that we're going to be talking about on here today. What we will do, and it'll be posted on the website, is we will be broadcasting when everything's up and going. Hopefully, if we can work things out with BBS, we'll be broadcasting Monday through Fridays at a given time like today, like every Thursday is going to be dedicated to Fine Turns and At the Blair. That will be, you know, every Thursday at 1 o'clock. The first half hour will be Fine Turns. Second half hour will be At the Wire. And that will bring you up to date on all the standard bred and thoroughbred industry. Then we'll go to Chuck Wagon in Quarter Time. We haven't selected the day for that, but I'm looking probably at a Tuesday date for those two events because they coincide with each other. And then we'll have Last Call. Will generally be on a Wednesday because the sales start, you know, for the weekends or we start on Tuesdays, and we can bring the finals on Last Call. So every day we'll have at least two programs on when we're up and running. You know, it's going to take us a few months to get these programs activated. And so that's what we intend to do here on International Equine Network, is to bring horse programming to our viewers and listeners. And you don't have to be a horse person to watch our program. Because we're not going to get that technical. We want everybody to enjoy it, and we want you to see how horses get horseshoes put on their feet. You know, all breeds, they all have to wear the shoes. They all need shoes. How they're trimmed up. We're going to show you how horses are clipped, why they look so shiny and pretty and when they're out, you know, doing their discipline or their racing. There's more to it than just, you know, putting the saddle on the horses and going with them. One of the things that I think you'll like, and I did a lot in my lifetime. I've been to 12 different countries transporting horses, and I've got a lot of good video to see how horses fly. And this is part of our Kentucky Derby show called How They Get There. It was interesting. I was at the airport in Louisville, Kentucky, and I was dropping off a horse from Lexington, Kentucky, to go to Japan. And when I got there, I've never seen a horse load before on an airplane, and I was really excited about it. There's a word excited again. But I was just, you know, in awe of how horses fly. So long story short, the owner of the forwarding company that flies horses all over the world was there, and he was having an issue with one of his workers. And so I stayed there, and I helped out a little bit. And so long story short, at the end of the day, you know, I asked him, I said, how do you get a job, you know, here working with these horses? And they said, well, you know, you got to be qualified. You got to do this. You got to do that and everything. And they told me where their home office was. And so I called the home office and sent in an application. And so it wasn't a month later, I get a phone call from the company, and I explained to them. I said, I've never, you know, flown with horses before, but I said, I know horses inside now. I said, I've traveled, you know, many miles, many places transporting horses on the ground. So I got a job interview. I had to fly out to Seattle, Washington's airport, and met a gentleman from England. And he was going to interview me and see if I could do groundwork for him at the airports. Whenever the horses would ship in, we would build the crates and the containers, and we would load, you know, then load the horses, and, you know, they would go to their destination, whatever country or whatever city it was in. So when I got to the airport, I met this gentleman, and I was amazed. Dave was the nicest guy in the world. He's from England, and he started to explain to me what needed to be done. And at the end of the day, he said, I think it's going to work out, you know. So I was excited. Again, excited. So I didn't even get to leave the hotel, and Dave comes in and said, you know, said, the company would like for you to go with me to Japan. Said, have you got a passport? And I said, well, yes, I do. And I said, it's at home, you know. And he said, if you could get your passport, get all your paperwork filled out, and get it back to the office, he said, next week, he said, we'll take a load of horses to Japan. And so I went back home, and I got everything all in order, and I went back out, and that's how I started flying horses. And it was interesting because I'd gone to Hong Kong, I've gone to Japan, I've been to France. And, you know, it's a long process. It's a 31-hour day that you go through, you know, to get your horses where you're going, you know, flying with the horses. Inside the plane, it's phenomenal. You have 40, 50-plus horses on the plane. You have hay, you have water, you know, that type of thing. And one of the things that, you know, people don't realize is that a horse that's been on a farm for all its life here in Lexington, we'll say, you know, it's eating the same hay, the same water, the same everything. You know, to pick it the horse up and go to Japan, water's different, hay's different, you know, the feed's different. So one of the things that we did is we would cut in feed from wherever they were going a little bit at a time, to get them acclimated to it so it wasn't a shock to their system. And, you know, it was very interesting to find out, you know, what makes those horses fly as good as they do. one of the things that blew my mind is when you get the horses all loaded, you're trying to keep the air temperature of the cabin around 50, 55 degrees. And you keep it cold and keep it cool, you know, and it helps calm the horses. Now, mind you, all these horses are not medicated. These horses are going flying medication-free. But if something does happen along the way, you know, we were able to take care of the horses and you know, do what needed to be done. But when you're taking off, since you're a cargo plane, they try to get you to 39,000 feet as fast as they can. That's the shipping lane, as they call it. And when you take off, you have all these horses there, and the cabin air pressure and all the different things, the horses relieve themselves, we'll say. And the temperature and the plane goes from 50 degrees up to 80-plus degrees. I mean, it just gets hot real quick. There's a lot of moisture, and there's a lot of humidity, you know, when the horses relieve themselves. And then we get the temperature back down, you know, to where it's comfortable and all. So that was something that was interesting, you know, to see. And then when we get to the international airports, oh, my goodness, I was never so stunned in all my life when I first got to Osaka, Japan. We got there, and they must have had 100 people there to unload 50 horses. Whenever we got there, there was one guy, his job was to take the hay nets. There was another guy to get the water bucket. There was another guy to assist us taking the horses out of the boxes and off the plane. There was another guy there that would help you get to the right truck vehicle that they were going to whatever farm they were going to. It was amazing how well it went. And as soon as we would tear down one of the air stables by a group of six different people, they were pressure washed, they were cleaned, they were sanitized, and they were packed back up so that we could load them back on the plane and send the pallets and the air stables to wherever they needed to go. You know, it was just amazing, you know, to see that. And then to be able to get the horses on a van and truck and take them out to where they were going to the track or to whatever farm, to the quarantine, you know, that was for that country, was a little different. In fact, I was going to Hong Kong, and one of the drivers had a difficult time driving, and he knew at it, and so I assisted him from my experience in helping him with his vehicle to get the horse to the track, and it was interesting. I had a Sally horse van transportation hat that I was wearing, and he just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. So at the end of the day, I thanked him, you know, for helping me and letting me do what I did. And I gave him the hat. I gave him the hat. So about 8 months later, I'm on my way to Hong Kong, and a friend of mine, he says, "Your buddy told me to tell you hi." I said, "What buddy?" He said, "The gentleman from Japan." He said, "Give me this picture." And it was a picture of him sitting in the driver's seat, and he had put the Sally horse van hat in the windshield of his truck. So everywhere he went, everybody could see the Sally horse van hat. And you know, they knew that he knew somebody that was the Sally horse van, and he was very, very appreciative. It's things like that that make what we do here at International Equine Network, you know, our program is going to be good, I think. Of course, we're going to be getting professional announcers in here, and people slowly come in and take over what I'm doing. But, you know, I wanted this first show to be me, because this is how it started. I'm the one that started it. This is the concept that I have. These are the things that I'm trying to do you know, on International Equine Network. You know, we want to show you that the horse business are real people. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be smart, and I can prove that. You just have to be have the love for the horses, and it's a way of life. It's a way of life, and that's what we're going to bring here on International Equine Network. And that's why I strongly urge everybody to send me in their stories, videos, email them to us. Let us know so that we can get your story up and out about your experience with the horse industry, you know, that type of thing. And again, back to transportation, we're going to go inside horse vans and see how they travel up and down the road. You know, anywhere from a one-horse trailer up to, you know, a trailer, 18-wheeler, and a haul 10. You know, we're going to go inside the airplane. We're going to do all those kind of things because those are the kind of things that were meant a lot to me. And I'm sure that our listeners and our viewers will have stories to tell. They might not be flying on a plane, you know, but it might be a horse that they have on the farm that loves to go swimming out in the pond. It might be about a horse that is taken up with, you know, a dog or a cat or a goat on the farm that are buddies. You know, there's all kinds of things that, stories that we want to get on International Equine Network. We want to get them out there for everybody to, enjoy as much as they enjoyed, you know, doing those projects. You know, that type of thing. And then and one other thing that I do want to say before we're getting close here to the end of our time, we have a business section, an equine business of the week that I wanted to add on there. This week we have Farm Vet. Farm Vet is literally just about at any and every, you know, horse show you ever go to. They have a fantastic website at farmvet.com, and you can get any and everything that you need from Farm Vet, and we suggest that you go to them. But that's another important thing is how do the horses get all the equipment they need, the medicines they need, you know, and it's through companies like Farm Vet. And our international aspect too, there's a company called Hallway Feed. Hallway Feed, they deliver feed everywhere in the world. You'll see Hallway Feed everywhere. It's a fantastic international company. It's family owned and it's in Lexington, Kentucky. And they can get the feed that you feed your horse in Lexington, they can get it to you in California, Japan, or wherever you're at. And so, you know, that's another thing that's on our website. We just want you to get there and take a look at it. You know, see what we have, and I would like to see, you know, and hear from you folks. I'd like to see your videos. I'd like to hear your stories, you know, and let us do that. And then the other thing that we're adding here is BBS has got their studios unbelievably modernized. We're going to be Zooming on our programming. So, you know, it makes it easier for us to talk to you, you know, live with Zoom. You know, and all you got to do is let us know. Just go to IENTV.org and go to our any of our website programming and let us know. You know, or give us a call. You can call us at 561-466-1272. And next week we'll have call-in. You can call in, and we can take it by phone or we can take it by Zoom. But let us know this week. You know, help us make IEN, you know, a project that everybody will like. And the only way we can do that is with the stories and the horsemen that are out there. So hopefully, guys, we'll see you next week, August the 6th, 2020. On International Equine Network.